See in verse 28, God gave them over to reprobate mind. The result of that is being filled. Being filled. That's an overflow with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, and last week we came to covetousness. Contrary to popular belief, covetousness is not a sin that is limited to, by no means, the wealthy. You can be poverty-stricken and still be very covetous. So we need to make that clear, because people tend to believe that someone that's poor is not covetous, but that's not true at all. So we began last week looking at the definitions, biblical definitions of covetousness. We saw in Proverbs 15 and 27, it's described by the words greedy of gain. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5, labor not to be rich. It's not labor not, but labor not to be rich, the purpose of labor. Proverbs 28, 22, hasteneth to be rich. That would be covetousness. And we saw in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, those that will be rich. God warned Israel of the dangers of covetousness when they entered the land of Canaan. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, we're dealing with a society that is filled, being filled, continually being filled. It's overflowed and it's continuing with covetousness. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. That is, when everything's going well, abundance is coming down, you're experiencing abundance, beware lest you forget the Lord thy God. Most of us are in more danger of forgetting the Lord when things are going well than we are when we're in the midst of a storm. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And he goes on and says how God would bless, but again, the warning is not to forget the Lord. And that's the root, really, of covetousness, is a forgetfulness of the Lord. Notice Christ warned of this. If we turn over to Luke chapter 12, and then we'll spend the rest of our time here in Luke 12. Verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. And here's why. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So he starts with a warning. That warning leads into the parable of the rich fool. Being filled with covetousness. Society is overrun with what we read here in this parable of the rich fool. Again, it doesn't have to be a rich person. It can be the parable of the poor fool. It's a fool either way. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them in the context of this warning. Need to always look for context, but perhaps more so in parables than anything else. 99% of the time when someone preaches upon a parable, they take it out of context. But here, again, always notice the context. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, and here's his attitude, and this is the sin. What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, this should be the application, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When those, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The man in the parable is a fool. God said he was. He's not a fool because he's rich. That's not why he's a fool. He was foolish because he is completely self-absorbed. Completely self-absorbed. You would have to walk around with blinders to think or not to see that we live in a society that is overflowing with an absorption of self. And this man is completely self-absorbed. We read that he has a conversation with himself. That's his mind, in which he uses the pronouns I and my 11 times, verses 17 through 19. I, my. Completely self-absorbed. This is why he's a fool. He is the center of his universe. And this is why he's a fool. The ruling spirit of his life is self. Society overflows with this. And it is the result of a reprobate mind. And again, as a way of reminder, a reprobate mind cannot find its way back. And we are absorbed with self. Society is absorbed with self. And psychiatrists and psychologists have written many books and many articles on narcissism and this absorption with self. But the problem is, they can't get back. They can't get back because it is the result of a reprobate mind. This individual is pursuing his own will. He's pursuing his own glory. He's pursuing his own ends. He is pursuing his own lusts. And Jesus says, thou fool. Not because he's wealth, not because he has barns, not because he has goods. That's not why he's a fool. He's a fool because he's absorbed with self. You see, this man really believes that life has no other purpose than him, than himself. And again, society overflows with this attitude. His life consists of self-will. His life consists of self-indulgence, self-seeking, self-glory, self-importance, self-love. And Jesus says, thou fool. He was also a fool because he did not acknowledge God. You'll notice he refers to my fruits, my barns, my goods. Listening to him, you would think that he is the absolute proprietor, that he All these things are a result of him. He attributes all of his success to his own efforts. No acknowledgement of God. Much in keeping with our American tradition of self-reliance. And Jesus said, "Thou fool." There was no consideration of God. If you listen to him, you would think he's not beholden to God for anything. Nothing at all. That overflows in our society today. It was God who gave the seed and soil life in which this man planted. It was God who sent the right amount of rain. It was God who sent the right amount of sunshine. But there is no thanksgiving. There is no praise given to God. But instead, he takes all the credit to himself. And Jesus says, "Thou fool." He's a fool not because he has things. He is a fool because he thought these things were his own. He's not a fool because he possesses things. He's a fool because things possess him. Quite a difference. Again, my barns, my fruits, my barns, my goods. He looked at everything as his own with no thought of the one who gave it to him. No thought of glorifying God with his abundance. No thought of accountability to God. And the Lord says, "Thou fool. Thou fool." This man never in the parable consults with God. He says, "I will do this. I will do that." Makes plans. You're not a fool for making plans. You're a fool for making plans without God. He did not consult the Lord. He made plans for his future without ever considering the will of God, without considering what God would have him to do. And Jesus says, "Thou fool, thou fool." So in all his receiving, in all of his calculating, in all of his resolving and all of his anticipating, there was a complete neglect of the Lord. So society overruns. Society is overrun with this attitude today. And it's covetousness. Thou fool. No dependence upon God. Read the parable. There's no recognition of God's authority. There's no recognition of God's rule in his life. This is what I'm going to do. Again, no recognition of God whatsoever. No dependence upon God. No thought of obligation to God. And Jesus said, "Thou fool." Again, he's not a fool because he possesses things. He's a fool because things possess him. He's a fool because he looks to these things for happiness. Those who are poor do that. They will say, "Well, if I had such and such, I could be happy." No, there's nothing to do with happiness. But this, so it's not a matter of having or not having. That's not the issue. The issue is what has us. That's the issue. He looked for material things for happiness, for pleasure, for satisfaction and security. And Jesus said, "Thou fool." Now, if the world looked at this man, they would say, "There is a successful man." But Jesus called him a fool. If the world looked at this man, they would say, "Now there's a wise man. You ought to go to him for advice. There's a wise man." But Jesus said, "Thou fool." The world look at this man, they'd say, wow, wish I was like him. There's a happy individual. But Jesus said, thou fool. If you read the life stories of many, not all, but many of people whose society puts on a pedestal as successful and happy, they're miserable individuals. And they're not miserable because they possess, they're miserable because there's a hole in their life. And that hole, what's missing is God. And they're miserable. They're miserable. Thou fool. Here's a man who manifests covetousness. And covetousness manifests a lot of things. It is a manifestation of wrong values. You put the wrong value upon something, you can ruin your life. You put the wrong value, you don't value the spiritual enough, you can ruin your life. You put too much value on the material, you can ruin your life. Wrong values, it's a manifestation of wrong loyalties. And this is what Jesus is, what Mark referred to. It's what Jesus was referring to in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Wrong concerns, wrong pursuits, wrong priorities. And that's why we read in Matthew 15:27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Or Proverbs 15:27, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Being filled with all covetousness. That is our society today. And it's not going to get better. Because it is the result of a reprobate mind which cannot find its way back. The truth is, the reprobate mind and its attempt to get back looks to the wrong things and just continues further into the cycle of destruction. And that is our society. That's where you and I are called to live for the Lord. In a society that is overflowing with covetousness, with a society that is overflowing with the attitude of self, we need to beware that we do not fall into, we do not emulate that characteristic of our society. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us. Help us to be more like you. Lord, we pray that you would just draw us closer to you, that you would draw us closer to you this day. Those that are lost, we pray, Lord, that you would reach down and save their souls this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.